Hello and welcome to your September 18th edition of the Talking Show.
Ooh, yeah, you said it, Steve.
I'm Steve Cato. Just flew in from Austin, Texas, and I'm here with my co-host.
Hey.
Who flew in from Dallas-Fort Worth. A lot longer ago than I did from Austin, Texas, Nicholas Miller.
Yep, landed firmly like 4 weeks ago, very firmly.
Yeah, I'm wiped out.
You know, you're not the only one. Our great president Donald Trump flew into Los Angeles just the other day.
Yeah, you know, it takes a while to get settled anywhere, I think, and... You know, I chose to live in Los Angeles, but sometimes you live places for reasons that aren't to do with your direct choosing.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly, it could be a lot worse.
Yeah, you could be strapped down in Omaha.
Yeah, I don't hate living in Austin by any means, but you know these trips back remind me that I do love Los Angeles.
Yeah, it's a great city.
Yeah, there's like two cities in the world that I really love so far. Yeah, the other one's Toronto.
Oh, really? I thought Vienna. For some reason, I thought you really, really, really loved Vienna.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it.
Yes?
What can I say? I think I lucked out, I guess, by being born in a place that I can actually tolerate for a couple weeks at a time. You know, not everyone, you know, for God's sake, I mean, some people are from, you know, the worst places in the world. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I know a lot of people who can't, you know, I know a lot of Angelenos who leave, who can't stand it, you know?
Yeah. Some people just really don't like this place.
Different strokes for different folks.
You said it, Steve.
But no, you know, to your point, I'm settling in, gone to see some cultural events.
Ooh.
I've got maybe like one or two new friends.
Ooh.
And pardon me. God. And the things I miss about Los Angeles, I'm really going to appreciate when I get back here for good, let me tell you.
I bet.
Oh yeah, the other day, for example, Meredith and I were at the Lady Bird Johnson Wildflower Center for, you know, the Twilight event, and yesterday in fact, Tuesday. And you know, it's beautiful to be out in the fancy gardens out twilight, for sure. But, oh my lord, there was a food truck, and the food truck was charging $5 for a single taco.
Oh my word.
That is some Texas shit for sure.
But was that like an airport thing, you know, where they got you trapped, so they charge whatever they want?
I don't know. It's weird. It's not cheaper than living in LA.
Oh, really?
The weather is worse.
That's all they always say. It's like LA, but cheaper.
I think the pace is easier. And there's these incredible swimming holes, but there's no Pacific Ocean.
Yeah. But the.
So, I don't know. You do the math. Our cats are thriving. They like the. I think the place we're living is like set up ideally for cats. It's like a really good place to be a cat, and secondarily, it's a nice place to live. Well, one of these days you'll have to come visit.
Oh, I'm marking my calendar. I'm plotting it all out, Steve.
Yeah. Anyway, enough about me. How are you doing?
I'm okay. You know, trudging along in the gaping void that is postgraduate life.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, makes sense. I wasn't promised a lot, and
But, you know, you're adjusting okay.
Yeah. Like I said, I wasn't promised a lot, and I haven't been given a lot.
Well, in a way, that's just fine, right? That's good.
Yeah, because what I have been given has been good.
Yeah.
But I hope to, you know, really kind of gather my wits and get back into the art studio very soon.
Well,
there's going to be a lot of wits to gather, though. I'll be honest.
Well, anyway. I think this is a great opportunity to turn to our guest, Noah Turato, whose videos and performances have been setting the European and, I guess to an extent, New York art world's alight, originally from Croatia.
Ooh.
And now, I guess, either Berlin or Amsterdam based. It's hard to tell.
Doesn't really matter.
But yeah, here is really fantastic talker. And I think I just want to say that I'm really happy that Nora's here and that we can get back to, you know, the talking show.
Mm-hmm. The roots of it all.
Right, Nicholas. Talking, visual art, talking as art, art talking. Just so glad that this still exists. Because for a while, like, it really didn't, right?
Yeah, I mean, it barely exists, let's be honest.
Yeah. By the way, we're never having Trisvan and Michelle on the show. Anyway, Noah Turato on the talking show.
Cleaning started with water. Its evolution brought soap. It was later presented as soap was harsh and soap-free surfactants were introduced. Those surfactants became questionable and newer sulfate-free surfactants were presented, while in fact, some sulfate surfactants were far gentler and far more effective. It was then suggested that surfactants were bad in general and that oil should be used for cleaning the skin instead. The modern day has gone further to introduce micellar waters and water-free cleaning systems, or in its privileged language form, cleansing. Cleansing systems, suggesting that water cleaning should be less frequent to preserve skin's integrity. What has become the beginning of questioning water? She used to make tea. She used to empty ashtrays. Today, she's 89 years young. She chews Nergam every day, and she says it helps her stay awake during church. Humans made drones by copying birds. Birds are fighting back when girls say they're running errands. They're actually at the mall sniffing candles. Scented candles sell very well. A well-meaning company is doing good by connecting the world and didn't only pacify an unsuspecting public for a decade, it inspired a fiercely loyal workforce. Wearables still seem to be a niche market, at best only 2 stocks of smallpox remain, one held by Russia and the other stock held by the U.S. In the autumn, squirrels think about nuts so much it may make their brains swell. To minimize your time, fending off unsolicited helpful tips, a lactation consultant based in Brooklyn suggests being polite but terse. Men think all soup is healthy to this very day. Now circle the space partner. Clean energy, no jitter, no crash. I circle the space partner. Dust-filled, noisy, bombarded by horns and pneumatic drills beneath a cloudy sky that seemed to want to rain. And couldn't it? Feels like the end of the world is near, but not near enough. To get anywhere, you had to go everywhere. And I'm tired of having to wonder whether they did it out of stupidity or did it on purpose in a city of the mobile user and their memes, signs, process, desires, desperate energy, beauty produced by the attempt to escape the narco-cockerel jaws of that fucking partner. Fuck him. Offend them at your peril, nip it in a bud. Hey, partner, what's worse? Dust or mud? And are these dark times? Are they unconsciously stupid times? Are they both? Is it a case that the worst, when it comes in a clown car? How did I live so long believing that evil might have its own dignity, partner? The gender-neutral word partner really has been hijacked by progressive straight women. You're not allowed to use the word partner unless you actually run a business together. Unless you're a cowboy greeting another cowboy who's also exploring the Wild West and having adventures. But it's a good thing he did not click. You see, calling your own opinions unpopular is telling on yourself and not in a way you think. Items dropped in doors cause delay, proving people wrong since 2008. Someone who was in two minds about things, perhaps telling it like it is, even when it isn't. Speaking reality into existence. These were his 9 months of self-imposed exile in financial comfort. Will he survive? His widely publicized self-immolation via social media presents only the latest in a steady series of business leader breakdowns, temper tantrums, and spontaneous combustions over the past year. Yet the unnerving details of his story offer up a particularly damning case study into what happens when our current swoon over pathological levels of bravado meets the stark reality of a demanding and highly scrutinized job. I wish people who you survive and thrive in the same sentence were not alive. His success is the success of the success sequence and his deep, sinister, Freemason-like commitment to the idea that the show must go on. Show must go on. There is always more show. I don't even think he loved us. But he did love making us miserable by refusing to leave. This was how people disappeared from history, wasn't it? They weren't raised, they were explained away. Explained death. And how lovely it was. This celebration of our capacity to produce success. And if you measure success in terms of excess, and if you measure success in terms of numbers, chickens, cows, and pigs are the most successful animals ever. But they were the good years. The type that would inspire a Scorsese montage. Millions and then billions of smartphones going out. Billions and then trillions in rising company valuations. Your screen is bright and it's sharp. And while there may be slightly better screens out there, you'd only be able to tell by holding at the phone side by side. Do you think it's neoliberal that it's cheaper to buy a new printer than it is to replace the ink cartridges? Is it unethical for me to not tell my employer I've automated my job? These self-automators had tackled inventory management, report writing, graphics rendering, database administration, data entry of every kind. One automated his wife's entire workload too. Is that neoliberal enough? Neoliberalism has conned us into fighting climate change as individuals. Bad data. Very bad. Bad data. Very bad. Enter. Enter, 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 and expand. Enter and expand. Bad data, very bad. Libido apply, 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 libido I applied. She's on her period, so I'm covered in blood by the end. I drink a big glass of water and go submerge my dick in her sink, and we chill for a little while and I bail, riding home the wrong way down the street in the middle of the night. It is of no consequence to me what other people think of me. What matters is what I think of them. You just think hard and don't act, and then you question me when I do. World is like cactus. It's impossible to sit down. But I don't remember last time I ate. Then again, I don't remember last night. I can't continue getting high and then confusing it for lust. Will I make friends here? Well, probably not. This is the very best of the voices in my head. Fuck, I love when an email finds me well. The cucumbers you could pickle. The rhubarb you can make into jam. Files not available in your country. Files you watched without me. Artist at home. Minoxidil in a bathroom. Black t-shirt reading, thank God for abortion. And I wanted to say cock. But the word wouldn't really form in my mind because it was too obscene and penis always sounded so ridiculous. I take a shower to wake myself up. It always helps. Plus, I like to fuck with wet hair. Weird but true. I trust your genes, you don't have to be involved. I just wanna do this, that's all for myself and for nature. You believe in nature, don't you? She's like that. She does not know what she's doing, and I don't know what to tell her. A puffy-faced woman, my age, whose wooden beads rattled at her tan bosom when air kisses. She would sigh, brush her hair from her face, smile, but I could see her jaw was set. The sun behind her is sterning the edges of her frizzy, undone hair into a flaming corona of split ends and shame. She's not out of the woods yet. To employ this highly unclear phrase, doctors insist on using. She used to dance ahead of us in her pink raincoat, skipping through puddles and pretending she did not know us. When she grew up, she planned to know everything and keep it all a secret. Girls like her are greatly inclined to cross their sevens and dot their I's with little circles, but that must have been something to her because her favorite book was The Bell Jar. Though I imagine she's moved on by now. She loved secrets, and even if she didn't have any secrets, she made sure that you thought she did. Her parents were undoubtedly psychotherapists who gave her too positive a self-image, then too many dykes told her she was beautiful. She smoked in a theatrical fashion, making a performance of it as she did of everything, but she is comfortable showing the world that she does not know what she does not know and that she does not necessarily need to find out. She is free to waste her time as she pleased, and she wasted tons of it. She stopped doing stuff, then stopped explaining why she stopped. She prefers thank you over sorry, because sorry is just the token that was offered to ward off guilt. You see, I had no secrets. I knew nothing. I got out hopeful, and I found nothing. I pee against the shower curtain thinking, did you say something stupid to somebody stupid? I'm proud to be the eerie one. A slumming debutante in combat boots. Boots fit my feet like a glove on each foot, which means I suppose they fit like socks. I'm proud to be the eerie one. I'm old enough to wait tables and shit out my first puppy. No one is bored. Everything is boring. I wheel my IV pole down the carpeted corridor. My mom calls it walking a dog. Every place seems like it's a special place of special interest and expertise, and to that extent, I have no right to be there. And you can't understand me. Because my experience is so different. And you must understand me because my experience is so important. Never speak until you're spoken to. Don't stare, never touch. You see, the phrase, taxpayer money, still to this day casts a mysterious spell of a baby boomer's one which I will never understand. She loves being a baby boomer and getting rid of unneeded household items by mailing them to her children who have much smaller homes. It takes a lot to be minimalist. Social capital, safety net, access to the internet. And they will swap And they will swap. And they will swap things such as laptops, shoes, film, cell phones, bags, wheelchairs, hands, casts, pumps for despicable particles of some kind, security theater. If stupidity got us into this mess, then why can't it get us out? Awkward sex, sudden death, and utter concepts. Has anyone tried plugging it out and plugging it back in? Has anyone tried awkward sex, sudden death, and utter concepts? We should. We should allow them to express their gratitude now. We will put pressure on them quietly later, reads the first translation. We should allow them to express their gratitude now and then quietly press, reads the second. Same old skinny black suits and skinny ties. Same old hiked as you care dresses, the same old tiny bombers and bikers and mod and factory and new wave and no wave. And of course the internet lost its collective mind. Yet another strand of characteristically modern absurdity to either attack or joyously consume. Tiny bags, tacky bags emblazoned with designer labels, bootcut jeans, tube tops, and fucking glitter. Trends. Trends are always cynical. And consumers are always in pursuit of a new must-have denim. Clothing brands. Clothing brands have been smuggling spandex onto the legs of unsuspecting men. Ladies, hear me out. Bathrobes you can wear to work. What do you say? Somebody fucked up. Somebody crossed the line. But that's not an indicament on a cuddle puddle. That's an indicament on crossing the line. Men are doomed. Everybody knows this. We're obviously all doomed, the women too. Everybody in general. Just a waiting game until one or another of the stupid things our stupid species is up to finally gets us. But as it turns out, no surprise. Men first. Second instance of no surprise, we're going to take them women down with us. Except for visits. We stayed home and saved money. I wrote poems and Sharpie all over the walls of my bedroom. I've gone to sleep extremely quickly, yes, almost instantly, but never passed out. I played Monopoly on my own. I played Cluedo on my own. When I eventually got around to it, masturbation seemed a natural outcome of my childhood. I imagined that sex would be somehow, God knows how, an amalgam of the mystical and coarsely animalistic, a warm and blurry experience that would transcend the mechanics. I took 500 cold baths, 2,400 sitz baths, spent 480 hours in wet sheets, drank 3,500 glasses of cold water, herbal medicines, water purifiers, flint, and steel if the skin failed to erupt. The purification might be affected instead by the bowels. Shivering, underfed patient is meant to rejoice at the onset of diarrhea. We set out to restore our dried up, clogged, plethoric bodies to their properly humid state. It is hardly coincidental that these new expectations of mine require money and time. And how many pairs of wings later and they're still selling bras and they're a mess. I think corporate body positivity is gallingly empty and passive-aggressive. They give an illusion of feminine empowerment, but their empowerment is firmly within the boundaries of beauty culture, feminine culture, fashion culture, where they could once profit by making women feel worse. The money now is in promising them a way to feel better. It's all too rare. Too rare to dislike, but where does that leave the one who dislikes it, huh? I knew I looked like a mad woman. My hair all over the place, face ravaged by crying, breasts flopping around inside the oversized dressing gown. Am I losing my dignity in this flunky's outfit, or it's actually making me seem strangely distinguished? A rogue elephant, roaming free, a sufficiently dinky arena for my dinky gift. To be truly elegant, one should not be noticed. That's what my mom said. Mothers in black, in white, in toasted almond and sensible knits, the good, the bad, and the viscose. Some are middle-aged, look forward to menopause because it may relieve their headaches, but the mothers in movies are either gone or useless. The dead mother plot is a fixture of fiction so deeply woven into a storytelling fabric that it seems impossible to unravel or explain. Bambi's mother shot, Nemo's mother eaten by Barracuda, Lilo's mother killed in a car crash, Coda's mother and Brother Bear's speared, Po's mother in Kung Fu, Panda 2 done in by a power Chris Peacock, Ariel's mother in Third Little Mermaid crushed by a pirate ship, Human's baby's mother in Ice Age chased by a saber to the tiger over a waterfall. I think mothers are killed in today's kids' movies so the fathers can take over. Voom, Bambi. These were messages that Gmail had for years swept dutifully, quietly into my promotion stuff. Now they were bursting into my main inbox, onto my phone's lock screen, into my head, and they just kept coming. And why we sleep and why we often can't, I try to stay my galloping pulse by thinking of water or mountain or fluffy sheep. I tell myself I am heavy, 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 heavy. I pursue sleep so hard I become invigorated by the chase. Everything was from duty, nothing from love. Duty killed you in the end. Do you think it's subversive? And I'm not sure. Baby, it's time to study infants, to study animals, to study primitive people, to be psychoanalyzed, to have a religious conversion, get over it, to have a psychotic episode, get over it. It's the big other, symbolic substance, the domain of fun, written customs and wisdoms best expressed in a stupidity of proverbs. Mice love to run. Mice love to run, he told me. And when he puts an exercise wheel in their cage, they typically walk several miles a night. These nocturnal drills are not simply a way of dealing with the stress of laboratory life, as scientists demonstrated in a charming experiment conducted a few years ago. They left a small, cage-like structure containing a training wheel in a quiet corner of an urban park under the surveillance of a motion-activated night vision camera. The resulting footage showed that the wheel was in their constant use by wild mice. Despite the fact that their daily activities, foraging for food, searching for mates, avoiding predators, provided a more than adequate workout, mice voluntarily chose to run, spending up to 18 minutes at a time on a wheel and returning for repeat sessions. Several frogs and slugs also made use of the amenity, possibly by accident. And Annie stands up, taps his knife on his champagne glass, turns to his new wife and raises the microphone. Then he started reading. He is boring people to death. How kind they have all been to smile and nod through his sentences. His must have seen it as a sign that he was on the right track. They were tanned all over, so whatever it was they were doing, they must have been doing it frequently. Conversations were tolerated so long as they never became more than that. Saying no was uncool, and yes could mean anything. Enemy someplace for fizzy water cocktails, mason jars, fresh mint lime chucks, vodka and rum, a male bowerbird in his seduction theater. In our music room, it qualified as a music room because it contained his clavichord. He was drunk. I could not see how long had he been like this. He is himself. It's just that he has two souls like revolving doors. He seemed amused by everything I said, everything he said himself to, only if it hadn't merely been a one-sided exercise in unburdening. You see, the occasional pirouette of self-deprecation is nothing if not good manners, but his deprecation felt too pleasurable, Relief would require no longer being himself. What was it about complaining that felt so good? You and your fellow sufferer emerging from a thorough session as if from a spa bath, refreshed and tingling. And I knew all I had to do to get rid of him was to wait him out. Sometimes I'd look at him through the fork and pretend he's in jail. You need to learn shame to be a performer. I know that's a very stifling, non-New Age thing to say, but it's true. If you're going to repeatedly get on stage and brazenly suck air in front of people, you might as well be canning them in the knees and robbing them. Performers must have some obligation to entertain. It's the price of attention. You see, attention can be harvested only from the minds of other people. And high-quality attention won't come by force. In anthropological terms, it's a gift economy. The idea that lonely people don't deserve attention comes to us instinctively, as when we see an empty restaurant with a busy one next to it. One way to seek attention is to do something that gets lots of it. Performance, art, politics, crime, journalism maybe, but it seems to have another purpose. The purpose matters. But I retain nothing but headlines. I retain almost nothing. I retain nothing but headlines. I retain almost nothing. Hormones are life. Hormones are mental illness. I don't need to make sense. I just need to let it go. I don't need to make sense. I just need to let it go from what it had been into what it now is. About how they wanted it more and no one wanted it less. This is where what happened to people happened in a head. Your mind has been blown countless times. And your silence no longer seemed particularly dumb. Thank you, that's it.
Wow.
Ooh.
Wow. 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 Wow.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow. Wow.
Well, I have to say, I like that approach to talking.
You know, stunner. I'd say that was some pretty stunning talking. I feel stunned.
Yeah. Yeah, like the indefinable accent is like almost like the opposite of like a Bob Ashley folksiness, but then at the same time the Sveggesang, you know, singing style is
stunning.
Yeah, it's and I love how it's unaccompanied.
Yeah, I mean, it has a percussive element for sure. There's a lot of punch in these syllables that I can't really grasp.
Yeah. Yeah, and the focus and the speed are also really good.
It's amazing stuff. Yeah. It's like a contemporary Schoenberg or something.
Hmm, good point.
Because I, honestly, I could never stand that. What's the Schoenberg Night stuff? I don't know. Too much.
You know, it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing to say that I think, like, the last major talking I saw was maybe Sue Tompkins.
Oh, fair enough.
And there's nothing wrong with Sue Tompkins by any stretch. Love the work. But just that, you know, we've been doing the show for a long time.
That's true.
And Sue Tompkins has been doing approximately the same kind of talking before we started the show. While we've been doing the show, you know, it's like saying, I saw some really good paintings. They were by Gerhard Richter, you know, or something. And you're like, well, apparently he's quite good at making paintings.
Yeah. And he's still going.
Right. You know, you're like, oh, that person's good at this because we know that they're good at this.
I saw some talking recently by Guy de Cointet's assistant. I can't recall her name, but it was pretty slow.
Yeah, I agree.
Very slow.
You know, and I wonder to what extent the heyday of the last heyday of art talking was in any way influential on this new talking work, or whether it's a totally independent innovation. I could see it going both ways.
It had to have an effect, Steve. Come on, history.
We'll find out after the show.
True.
Anywho, thank you so much, Nora. Nicholas.
Steven.
Chinatown. Good night, everyone.
Good morning.